Welcome to the Monlica Partner Connections podcast. Today, for episode number 2, we have Sheila Mays of Monlica Healthcare Professional Affairs speaking with Dr. Lisa Grubb about maximizing value, standardization, and utilization strategies in healthcare. But before we jump into the content, Dr. Grubb and Sheila, please introduce yourself.
Kendra, thank you so much. It's just a pleasure to be here today talking with you about this very, very important topic. And as Kendra shared, my name is Lisa Grubb. I have a doctorate degree from the Johns Hopkins University School of Nursing, and I have over 3 decades as a practicing registered nurse. And I have recently graduated with my family nurse practitioner certification from Salisbury University. The majority of my career I've spent in leadership positions, both as a vice president, senior director of quality, director of infection prevention and control. So spent a lot of my career working on change in healthcare, standardization of products, recommending products, et cetera. And in my assistant professor role, I'm also a practicing wound care clinician. And most currently, I am part of the Daniel Torsch Foundation, where Daniel Torsch Foundation is a harm reduction group where we care for individuals struggling with drug addiction who are either homeless or on the streets. And I have the great privilege of being their wound care nurse. So, and my clinical background is in critical care, operating room, and recovery room. So it's just a pleasure to be with you today.
Thanks, Lisa. Yes, I'm Sheila Mays. I'm the Director of Professional Affairs for Monlica Healthcare in the wound care division. But like Lisa, I've been a registered nurse for many, many years. I'll admit to 4 decades. So with Monlica, I started in the surgical division, working with the sales teams, and worked my way up to where I am now. I oversee all of our professional education, whether it's online or at conferences. And I get the joy of working with our key opinion leaders and incredibly valuable partners like Dr. Lisa Grubb. So I have my master's in healthcare administration and, of course, my bachelor of science in nursing. And I'm so thrilled to be here to talk about standardization today, because I think you'll find with both Lisa and I, with our background, we have a lot to talk about. So without further ado, let's get started. We're going to talk about the value of standardization. So standardization is a key driver of efficiency in healthcare. Lisa, can you explain why it's so important and how it impacts both cost and patient outcomes?
Absolutely. Standardization helps everybody in healthcare from, you know, I love to talk about healthcare from the bedside to the boardroom, from the boardroom to the bedside. So standardization absolutely helps to maintain cost, which is what we all want to do. And we all need to be fiscally responsible in healthcare today. So standardization certainly speaks to cost, but it also helps your clinicians at the bedside because they are not wondering what product they should use and looking at 10 products that are very similar, but they have a standard mechanism, standard way of caring and taking care of that patient. So standardization absolutely assists in efficiency as well as outcomes, because nurses and other care providers at the bedside become accustomed to utilizing standard products and what to use those standard products for. So I'm a specialized in Lean Sigma, and that is absolutely something that we look at when we're doing quality improvement. We want to get rid of waste, and we look at standardization, PAR levels, et cetera, both for, again, the boardroom to the bedside. So I'm a big fan of standardization in healthcare.
So you mentioned Lean, which I was going to bring up anyway, but a lot of times there's resistance to change, right? People figure, ugh, they're just trying to take the cheap route out. They're just trying to make it so that I can only pick out of one thing. And, you know, it may not be something I like or get the outcomes I want. So how do you get the clinical team on board? And what strategies have you seen that work best to drive product adoption or new process adoption? It shouldn't just be product based, it's process as well, but and minimize that pushback.
I absolutely believe in going to the bedside and talking to the individuals that deliver care. And that really should be everybody from your housekeeper to your chief medical officer, because everybody wants to be included in that conversation and everybody wants to have a say. And I think it's all in the way you do it. So you have to go in and say, we're looking at, you know, we're looking at X and we're looking at Y. And here is the reason and the rationale that we're doing that. And we really need your assistance in guiding us to make the best decision for you and for our patient. So I really believe in Lewin's theory of change. And it's an old theory, but it's, you know, you spend a lot of your time in that unfreezing phase. So you're really having conversations, you're bringing people in, you're talking to individuals. So essentially, you're making it their decision. And you're getting them to help you make the decision. Because Sheila, you and I know what happens when we bring in a product that nobody knows about. And you say, yesterday we were using this and today we're using this. And you're going to have revolt on your hands. And that is really where I think that individuals really miss the mark. Your team at the bedside, again, from the housekeeper to the chief medical officer, they want to be your partner in delivering care. And that you need to listen to your partners and really bring them into the conversation and get them to help you make the change. And I think the other thing you need to realize is that change doesn't happen in 24 to 48 hours, that you need to take the time that it takes. And I've always seen it done. I've seen it done very well when you say, we have 3 months, we have 6 months to make this decision from the beginning to the end. And that way you're setting expectations with your team as well.
All right, Lisa, one of the things that is always difficult when you're trying to standardize is when you're looking at something that people might consider a premium product, right? It's going to cost more. But sometimes evidence will help you prove that you're actually saving money because you're using less. You know, the old saying, you get what you pay for. So could you talk a little bit about that? So utilization versus standardization and value.
Absolutely. And this is something that I really, I'll talk about it from a leadership, but I want to also talk about it from a clinician perspective, because I think this is really where the conversation really needs to begin and end. When I am working with clinicians in caring for patients and educating the nurse on a dressing choice that I have made, what I talk about is I talk about the value for the nurse, because if I can choose a dressing that is going to safely and according to manufacturer's guidelines stay in place for up to 7 days and help that nurse's time and protect that nurse's time, I'm absolutely going to do that. And I'm going to do the same thing for the patient. If I can choose a dressing that that patient can put on, again, safely and according to manufacturer's guideline, and can be in place for up to 7 days, which is typically what we will see with some of our more premium dressings. What I talk about is that I'm benefiting everybody, right? I'm benefiting the nurse's time because I'm saving that nurse time at the bedside. She doesn't have to mess with that dressing, and he or she will know that that patient is safe and that that dressing is good for 7 days. And I'm doing the same thing for the patient. So I'm helping that patient feel safe, feel more secure, and their caregiver knowing that they have a dressing that can be left in place safely for up to, and I'm using the 7 days because again, that's typically what we will see for these dressings. And I have seen this over and over again, Sheila. I've seen nurses be so appreciative of me considering nurses' time, and same thing with caregivers and patients, that they're just so appreciative knowing that that just minimizes the stress in caring for their loved one and minimizes the stress on that patient. And these are usually dressings that typically are more expensive than we would say maybe a gauze dressing. But again, a gauze dressing, you're changing up to 3 times a day. So it's really just looking at what will benefit the patient. And again, will save you money, both in standardization and utilization.
So sometimes price at the pump isn't everything. It's better in the long road when you can visualize and understand the real value down the road.
Absolutely. And usually it saves you money anyway, because you're using more of the cheaper products. So it all basically just comes out in the wash. But if I can use a product that is going to save a clinician and a family member and a patient time and be very safe, that is the product that I'm going to go with.
Best practices. So beyond that standardization, optimizing product utilization is critical for reducing waste, improving efficiency, like we've already given some examples. But what are some of your best practices for achieving this? So you've already kind of talked about timeline and including everybody from housekeeping to the boardroom. Beyond that, do you have any other best practices you can share with us?
Absolutely. Bringing the data. Why are we doing this? So, you know, what are the problems with this? So you bring the data. You know, our pressure injuries are up by X percent. So we need to look at a new product. You know, and we've determined that within evidence-based practice, we're doing everything. And the only thing that we can come down to is that this is the issue, that we need to expand our products. So we need to look at other products. So I think, you know, change is made through data. So you have to speak through the data and make certain that your clinicians, your housekeepers, et cetera, they all understand the data. And I think that we always are afraid to talk about cost in healthcare, but I think we have to get over that. I think we have to say, look, you know, we need to also be very fiscally responsible and be very real with your clinicians. Everybody wants to get a raise. Everybody wants to be paid well. Okay, well, we always want to eliminate unnecessary cost. And you speak to those unnecessary costs and also the wasteful cost in utilizing maybe an inferior product or utilizing 10 products when you can take it down to 2 products. So I think we have to become very comfortable in talking about all types of outcomes in healthcare, including financial outcomes. And one of the things that I'm very passionate about in my teaching role is to teach clinicians key performance indicators. Nurses who are coming into working in this generation, they have to understand that language. You know, it's no longer, you have to understand the whole process in healthcare. And that means understanding key performance indicators and not being afraid to talk about that with our clinicians.
So one last kind of part of this around standardization is future trends and outlook today, moving forward. What are we hoping for? What do we want to gain? What are some of the, do you see any gaps in standardization process? Do you see ways that it will be moving forward, maybe with AI? That was a whole lot I threw at you, Lisa, but do your best and I'll come back around to it.
I think it really starts with when we're educating this new generation of nurses. And I think we have to make certain that, you know, we are obviously confident and comfortable with talking about standardization and value and efficiency, but we really have to make certain that our next generation of clinicians are very comfortable and confident in having these conversations. And, you know, AI is certainly, it's here to stay, and we have to learn to work with AI. We are, at Johns Hopkins, we are absolutely being encouraged to utilize AI and to utilize AI in our classrooms very responsibly. So to teach AI in a very responsible manner and utilize AI to what it is designed to do, and that is to basically be a partner in our journey in healthcare. And I don't know that I completely understand what that will look like, Sheila. I think we're certainly learning and growing every day in that. And I think we will, you know, that is something that we're going to continue to peel back the onion, so to speak, and really learn what AI can do. But it is definitely to be a partner with us and to partner in healthcare.
The word partner, I've heard it from you a couple of times, and I love that word. I would be remiss if I didn't say, as we're talking about standardization, best practices, future, what the best looks like. Obviously, I'm in industry, right? So you have industry partners, or I'm calling them partners, that will sell you something and then you never see them again. And then you have partners that will work with you to help educate, to help train, to help make sure that your PAR levels are correct for, you know, so that people aren't running to the shelf and it's always empty. They want to do the best job to help you achieve those best outcomes. Where do you see the relationship, the partnership with industry going in this journey?
Well, you know, I've been a nurse like you, Sheila, for many years, and I have For the majority of my career, I've been in administrative and leadership positions, and I have learned that absolutely that the industry partners are your best friends, right? And they're your go-to people. And I can certainly give you a couple examples of things that I have used over my career. And I'll give you a very recent example. So I was honored to be the wound ostomy continence nurse for the oncology area at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And I have been working with Mölnlycke, and Mölnlycke serves the Johns Hopkins and that particular hospital for the majority of wound care products. So they have a big footprint, which is absolutely amazing. And part of my role in that oncology WOCN role was to really educate the nurses in how to choose products for specific wounds that they would see. And in working with my Mölnlycke partners, they helped me to design an algorithm with all of the products that were pre-approved with what types of wounds that we would see on the unit. And what we did is we educated on that. And again, my Mölnlycke partners helped me educate on that. They did a beautiful job in designing an algorithm with specific pictures and with our protocols. And we were able to, we put QR codes up all over the unit so that they could easily get to that algorithm. And we had pictures, we had actually the algorithm, all the pictorial algorithm all over the unit. So on med carts, we had it, you know, up on locations that we could easily visualize. So I think that was a wonderful example of how we partner with industry. And again, I just didn't have the bandwidth or the time to do something like that. So my Mölnlycke partners did that for me. I was able to get it approved. And I think that really changed the way the nurses took care of patients. And they were confident in looking at that algorithm with the pictures to see what products that they could use on what wounds. And then we made certain that our PAR levels matched. Mm-hmm. So they were able to go to the supply areas and get those products for those particular patients. And the physicians used it as well. I mean, it was always very fascinating to me that, you know, it's a kind of a tuning fork mentality that all of a sudden the plastic surgeons were using the products and my vascular surgeons were using the products because they had access to the algorithm as well. So I think that's a great example of standardization and partnering.
That's a fantastic example. Lisa, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today about standardization and utilization strategies in healthcare. I know I learned quite a bit from our discussion, and I'm sure our audience did as well. Hopefully, they'll have gained one or two pearls of wisdom that they can carry forward in their career. I hope our audience continues to join us for future podcasts. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I'd like to turn it over to Kendra.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Sheila and Lisa, just for providing your insight based on your in-depth experience at the bedside and in hospital leadership. One of the things I just wanted to add is that Lisa is actually one of our key opinion leaders for our Excellence in Healthcare Roundtable discussions. And if you're curious to learn more about that, please contact us on the Mölnlycke website and we can provide more information. All right. Everybody have a great day.